Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, we're talking salary cap. The details for the contracts for Josh Minot, Austin Rivers, and Nate Knight are finally out. We know a little bit more about how much cap space the Wolves have this year and also next year. We'll break it all down here on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. A big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, you can find this show free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can also follow this show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at my account, which is at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Today, we are talking salary cap. Some details came out over the weekend on the brand new contract. Nate Knight actually just signed on Sunday. We talked about that a little bit on Monday's show, but I want to get a little bit more into that here today. But he signed on Monday. Some details came out regarding Josh Minot's rookie deal. And then Austin Rivers' contract is only partially guaranteed. So I want to get into the weeds a little bit on those details. What that means for this season in terms of roster spots, salary cap, what the Wolves have left to potentially spend. And then also next year. How does that impact next year's cap sheet? And what does that look like here as we look ahead several months? So let's start with Nate Knight. We talked a little bit on Monday's show about him signing. The Wolves had initially issued a qualifying offer for him on a two-way deal. Remember, he had played 1 year with Atlanta as a two-way, 1 year with the Wolves as a two-way, and players are allowed to play up to two seasons on a two-way deal with one team. That's what Jordan McLaughlin did for a couple of seasons. So the Wolves extended the qualifying offer to Nate Knight. They ultimately decided to give him an actual NBA contract. However, it's not fully guaranteed for the 2 years. It is a two-year deal, but there's only a partial guarantee for both seasons. So, the value of the contract is just shy of, it's a little over $1.8 million, I guess, about $1.84 or so. There's only $350,000 in guaranteed money. And this was first reported as a partial guarantee by, I believe, John Krasinski, of The Athletic. And then SpotRack has SpotRack.com. If you go there, it's got a little bit more of a breakdown of each of these contracts, and they do a really good job of laying everything out. So there's only $350,000 actually guaranteed for Nate Knight. It becomes fully guaranteed on the league-wide guarantee date, which we'll talk about more regarding some of the other guys, on January 10th. And then it becomes fully guaranteed for the 1.8-ish for this year. Next year, the contract goes up to nearly $2 million. It's like a $1.99 million next year. Same deal, though. There's like $380,000 that becomes guaranteed next summer. And then, like, I think it's in June of next summer. Actually, I have it right here. Similar to what Naz Reid's was this year. He's got $380,000 that becomes guaranteed at the end of June next year, like probably right after the draft. And then the full thing becomes guaranteed the following January, so January of 24. So it's 2 years of a partial guarantee. It's basically no risk for the Wolves. They've just handed him $350,000. If they choose to cut him at any point before that full guarantee date, that's all they're out, is that $350,000. And then also the dead money for next year as well, because because that's a club option. So they're only out the $350,000 for this year if they choose to, you know, if they make a trade and choose to cut him in November. Unlikely, but they could. So there's no risk for the Wolves. Nate Knight, we've seen him be a solid NBA rotation player, pound for pound, one of the better rebounders on the roster. I mean, he was up there with Jared Vanderbilt last year in that regard. And is a good fit at the four, a big-bodied four that can do multiple things, can actually stretch the floor a little bit. And like I said, rebound, which is still important. Obviously, with Rudy Gobert, that changes a little bit. But his rebound rate, for instance, Jared Vanderbilt was the only player on the team with a higher rebound rate. Knight actually did play in 37 games for the Wolves last year. It doesn't actually feel like he played in that many. But remember, around the time when COVID kind of hit the team, he played quite a bit. We saw some stretches where he played a little bit more. But he had a better rebound rate than Karl-Anthony Towns, and certainly better than Naz Reid. Was only behind Vando in terms of rebound rate last year. And a very good offensive rebounder as well, which is going to be key. It was actually the best offensive rebounder by rate on the team last year. So if he does get run, Remember, on a full NBA deal now, he's not going to be a rotation guy unless the Wolves decide he's a better fit for the rotation than Naz Reid. And that's a conversation for another day. I want to do some shows on my predictions in terms of rotation, which of course is going to change. Chris Finch is very willing to alter his rotation as a head coach, which is one of his strengths, is he doesn't play the same like nine guys game in and game out the same number of minutes. He adjusts based on matchups and based on how guys are playing. Nate Knight, there's a shot he beats Naz Reid out for some minutes. If rebounding is what the Wolves need, like say Gobert misses a couple games for some reason or is in foul trouble and the Wolves need rebounding, you put Towns at the five and put Nate Knight at the four. That's going to be better than Naz playing with Karl-Anthony Towns. It's going to be better than a Naz Reid-led lineup. You could put, it just depends again on the matchup and how the team is playing. But Knight is a much better rebounder than Naz Reid. He's also, you could argue he's like his 3-point rate is lower because that wasn't a major part of his game. He's very comfortable playing in the post, even more so than Naz, but he can shoot threes from the corner. He can stretch the floor. So there's elements to his game that are just as good or better than Naz Reid. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of shakes out. I do think that neither one of them is going to be in the regular 9 or 10 man rotation, because the plan is more likely than not for Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, one of those guys, to be on the floor at all times to try and stagger, two of the best centers in the entire league, two all NBA guys, essentially. I think that's likely the plan. So I don't know how heavy Nate Knight is going to play early, but to have that option, to have a different version of a backup big, obviously you have Towns, you have Gobert, you have other guys that, Kyle Anderson is going to get some run at the four, certainly. You could also play Jaden McDaniels at the four, but then you've got two other big bodies, Naz Reid and Nate Knight, who both are actually, in terms of size, better fits at power forward, but play more like centers in a lot of ways. And so to have them backing up Towns and Gobert, I think will be really good. So all that to say, a partial guarantee for Knight. Congrats to Nate Knight for getting an actual, a full NBA deal, not the two-way deal, and no risk for the Wolves. Partial guarantee becomes fully guaranteed in January. Next year, there's a club option for a partial guarantee of $380K in June, and then that becomes fully guaranteed the following January. So it's a win-win. Nate Knight gets his guaranteed money. He gets an NBA deal, gets a shot to latch onto an NBA roster of a playoff team, and the Wolves don't have much risk at all with this either. And so it's a win all the way around. Okay, I want to talk about the details on Josh Minot and Austin Rivers contracts. Are actually pretty interesting as well. And then we'll close by looking at next year's cap space and roster spots available still for the Wolves. There's still a little bit of room if the Wolves want to make some moves. So we'll get to that here in just a minute. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are absolutely depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And I mean that. Guess what? There's also a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. I tried one of these just the other day, and phenomenal. I think it's my favorite, even better than coconut brownie chunk, which, or maybe they're on. It's phenomenal. If you've had coconut brownie chunk, you know what I'm talking about. The cookie dough puff is unbelievable. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, like along the top of the bar. It's delicious. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's actually healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories. They have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to built.com. Don't walk, run to built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be the perfect treat, or you could just find a really good hiding place, which is what I did, and hoard them for yourself. Like all Built Bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and they're tasty. Chocolate covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. Delicious. What's great about Built is that all the bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. If you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Seriously, ditch the calories, the fat, ditch the sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 at built.com to get 15% off your order. All right, let's talk Josh Minot and Austin Rivers. So, First, let's talk about Rivers. Rivers was reported as a vet minimum signing, partially guaranteed, I think was kind of the initial report. National folks, I think, were on it first. Shams and Woj, I believe it was Shams first. And then John Krasinski chimed in with the partial guarantee information, I believe. This was a couple of weeks ago. Now it comes out that the Rivers contract only becomes fully guaranteed in January. So he's got a partial guarantee of, I believe it's like, let's see, I'm going to get the exact number here. I believe it's like 600 some thousand. 650,000 right now. So like, for instance, the Nate Knight contract we just talked about is 350K guaranteed, becomes fully guaranteed on January 10th. Same idea for Rivers, but as a veteran with a lot more experience, his guarantee is 650. So you get 650,000 guaranteed. The rest of the contract, which is overall a $2.9 million contract, becomes guaranteed on that same date, that January 10th date, which of course, after that date is when we start to see two-way contracts be signed. And you know, you see a lot of these guys get let go. So in the case of Austin Rivers, the only way I see him being let go is if he's, you know, falls off a cliff in terms of production, or if he's not getting playing time and the Wolves kind of mutually agree to let him go. That's not something we usually see in the NBA because playoff teams need their depth, and usually vets are looking for playoff teams to latch onto. So it usually happens in the reverse, where you could see a team that's bad let guys go out of, you know, just like, hey, go find somebody else. Or this is also, of course, before the trade deadline, so guys could be traded as well. So I think it's, in most cases, teams do this to kind of cover themselves, give themselves some flexibility when they're both up against the cap or the tax and also up against the roster limit. And the Wolves are kind of both. So it makes a lot of sense. And then also Rivers kind of protects himself a little bit. I mean, I say that obviously he'd rather have the full thing guaranteed, but that's the reason this happens. And so 650 guaranteed becomes fully guaranteed in on January, I think it's January 10th. Yeah. So we very likely, ultimately, this probably won't have an impact. It'll just be kind of a conversation, a footnote around that time, unless, of course, the Wolves make some sort of a trade or are setting themselves up for a trade or whatever. There's always a chance something happens, but likely it's kind of a moot point, and that he likely will become fully guaranteed and stick with the team on January 10th. The other contract that just took place that's pretty interesting is the Josh Minot deal. So there was some speculation that Minot could potentially latch on to the Wolves with a two-way deal after his performance in Summer League. And that would have made some sense. We've seen that happen with some second-round picks. Or, you know, the Wolves could go in and give him an actually guaranteed deal. That's what they did with Jalen Noel, who was a second-round pick several years ago. And ultimately, the Wolves gave him a four-year deal on a minimum salary, but it's only fully guaranteed for the first 2 years. So very similar to the Jalen Noel, the Naz Reid deal. Naz, of course, was an undrafted free agent, I guess now 3 years ago. But Jalen Noel was a second round pick. So the Wolves guarantee the first 2 years at a minimum salary. The third year becomes guaranteed if he's not waived by June of 24. So basically right around the draft after year two, there's that guarantee date in June, similar to the Noel, the Naz Reid deals that they're still playing on, then the fourth year is a team option. So team option and a partial guarantee aren't identical, but functionally they're about the same. So the Wolves apparently use part of what's left of the mid-level exception to sign him. He's only going to get, what is it, about $1 million? Yeah, a little over $1 million this year. Like $1.02 million basically is what Minot will get. And then again, guaranteed for next year as well with the partial guarantee dates. Or the guarantee date, June of, you know, after next season for year three, then a team option for the fourth year. So very similar to the Noel and Naz contracts. He would be easy to trade. Of course, the salary value is so low, it's unlikely he's included for any reason in a trade unless, you know, some team really needs this throw in to get it done or whatever. But that's a win for the Timberwolves to get him on such a team-friendly contract. I mean, think about how important it is to have Jalen Noel and Naz Reid penciled into this team for this year. Jalen Noel in year four, he became a rotation guy essentially in year three. There were moments he was out of the rotation, of course, but he became really important to the Wolves at a couple of points last year. He's now a rotation guy. The Wolves felt comfortable trading Malik Beasley in part because of what Jalen Noel did in year three of this contract. Now here he is in year four, making a very reasonable and frankly, he's completely underpaid at $1.9 million. And that's exactly what the Wolves are doing with Josh Minot is, hey, in the next 3 years, could he become an important rotation guy for us? Let's give him this partially guaranteed deal, this vet minimum deal. And of course, as a second round pick, you take that money. There's not a whole lot of leverage there. So this is, again, a win all the way around. He's got 2 years guaranteed, and the Wolves get up to 4 years of hopefully production at a very low cost and kind of cost certainty over the course of that 4 years. And this is what winning teams do, is they find guys in the second round that can contribute. Of course, Tim Connelly has this track record, Nikola Jokic being the most obvious example, but Monty Morris became a starting point guard. He was one of the better backup point guards in the league first, eventually got an second round pick rookie deal, eventually got an extension and became the starting point guard for the Denver Nuggets. And this is how, you know, Golden State's done this in the second round with so many years not having, you know, picking in the 20s, the late 20s of the first round. Really good teams acquire, you know, they get their stars and then they fill out the roster with these cheap second round picks, late first round picks, the cost certainty there. And the ceiling of production on a relatively modest contract is super important. And Tim Connelly is already going to take a swing at that here with Josh Minot. And so good contracts for Minot and for Nate Knight and for Austin Rivers. The Wolves have maintained a little bit of flexibility at the end of the roster. So we'll close the show by talking about that. How many roster spots the Wolves have left? How many dollars they have left to spend this year? And at this moment, what does next year's cap sheet look like for the Wolves? Okay, sitting here right now, the Timberwolves do not have any regular roster spots remaining at the NBA level. They do have one two-way spot remaining. They also have a very small amount of cap space. They have roughly, I should say cap space, room below the tax, right? Because they're already well past the actual cap. But they're a little more than $3 million. It's around 3.1 or so below the cap. I've got, I believe, what the exact number is here. Yeah, it's like 3.06 below the cap. So round that up to 3.1 below the cap. There's not much you can do with that with no roster spots, of course. Now, the Wolves have some flexibility, right? We have these partial guarantees for Austin Rivers and Nate Knight. We have the relatively low salaries for, you know, Bryn Forbes is fully guaranteed, but he's only $1.8 million. I had talked all offseason about the possibility of could the Wolves flip Naz Reid for a pick, a second round pick or maybe two future seconds to a team that needs a center. That's still a possibility, especially now with Nate Knight in the fold. If the Wolves need a roster spot, if they really want to make a move, if they decide that they really do have a role for DeMarcus Cousins or something like that, which of course is still being rumored, even though they're out of roster spots, they could always, I believe that there would be a team out there that would take Naz Reid for a modest cost. So that's a possibility to free a roster spot. And then in that event, the Wolves still do have their biannual exception, which, as it suggested, you only get every other year. It's roughly $4 million, a little more than $4 million. They could use it in season. They're not the only team that's going to have that exception available. So if they want to pick up a guy, like I referenced earlier, there's a team that's going to buy somebody out in January, February, March that's available for the playoff run. The Wolves could use those dollars to do that. They could free a roster spot by letting an Austin Rivers or Nate Knight go, by a 2-for-1 trade, by trading Naz Reid for picks. There's, of course, a variety of ways the Wolves could free a roster spot if they needed to, but that's really the purpose there, right? That's the only way they're going to use that biannual exception. I don't believe they can. I'm not an expert in the salary cap. I don't think that they can use the BAE as part of an extension, but again, they have that roughly $3 million, a little over $3 million left under the cap. So they could extend somebody. So like last year, the Wolves extended Patrick Beverley. There's some things the Wolves could do with that, but more likely than not, it's all just there in case something comes up on the buyout market, or also to absorb a little bit more salary coming back in the event the Wolves make a 2-for-1 trade to find another rotation piece. Of course, hopefully nobody gets injured, but if, you know, the roster could shuffle if anything like that were to happen. So they have a little bit of flexibility. I think rounding out the roster with, you know, I mentioned earlier, obviously the Naz Reid and Jalen Noel contracts are huge to do that. To also have the cost certainty of, like, say, Jaden McDaniels, a starter at just $2.1 million. Jordan McLaughlin, the contract he signed before last year, looks really advantageous right now, too. So to have, you know, a bunch of rotation caliber players at under $3 million a year is crazy. Now, of course, you have to do that when you have three max contract guys in Gobert, Towns, and Russell. But having Nas, having Jalen Noel, and then also Bryn Forbes and Austin Rivers and Nate Knight, all these recent signings that are just very essentially vet minimum deals is huge for the Timberwolves this year. Now, what does that mean for next year? So I had a question on Twitter, and I neglected to respond, but I just was reminded of it regarding next year's cap space with D'Lo coming off the books. Do they just clean have that $31 million? The answer is, well, kind of, because obviously the $31 million does come off the books, 31 point almost four. However, there's also built-in raises, right? So Rudy gets like $3 million more. Carl Anthony Towns gets like $2.5 million more. His Supermax doesn't kick in until the year after. Anthony Edwards gets like $2.5-3 million more, something like that. And then there's several other guys who see slight bumps. Now, Torian Prince isn't fully guaranteed, but he sees a bump. Kyle Anderson sees a bump. And so, yes, the cap will go up a little, but all those guys are going to get a little more money next year. And then you have to factor in, what about D'Angelo Russell? So either you're extending D'Lo or you're letting him go and you're going to try and you know, backfill that cap space with somebody else. But are you going to do better with him for a similar cost? I think it's all going to come down to what D'Lo is willing to accept. And that's a much bigger conversation for another day. And I touched on this quite a bit at the start of the offseason. Now, a lot's changed, obviously, with Rudy Gobert being part of the fold and you know, the guys that were with the team, like, you know, Pat Bev and Malik Beasley and those guys being gone. Tons of has changed since I talked about the D'Lo contract situation at length. However, if he's willing to accept something far less than the max, the Wolves could surely get an extension done sooner rather than later. If they still think he's a piece of the future for this team and a good fit with Towns and Gobert, which I believe he is, you know, don't be shocked if this is something that happens in season. If the Wolves see this pairing, or I shouldn't say pairing, really this trio, or I guess quartet with Anthony Edwards, obviously, moving forward, if D'Lo and Gobert really have a chemistry in the pick and roll, if D'Lo can say, okay, I'm all right being fourth fiddle here and taking far less than the max, you know, letting Rudy and Kat and eventually Ant get their max money, and D'Lo's okay making far less than that, the Wolves would certainly give him an extension to know that they've got their core moving forward. I think that that's certainly a possibility. So no, they don't have the clean 31.4 or whatever it is cap space coming out because of all the other raises that are in place. And they still have to fill that role. So what does that look like? Do they just bring D'Lo back? Do they find somebody else? I don't know. That's a conversation for another day. But they do have some flexibility at the end of the roster because, remember, Naz Reid, Jalen Noel, Bryn Forbes all come off the books after this year. You know, that's more roster spots than it is dollars because they're all less than $2 million. And then you've got one-year deals with partial guarantees for Austin Rivers. Nate Knight has a partial guarantee and team option for next year. So they're going to have at least five or I guess six roster spots, including D'Lo, coming open, but very limited cap space to fill it. Because that's the other thing. You could backfill D'Lo's role with another $30 million player, you know, high $20 million player, but you've still got four or five roster spots to fill at the minimum then. So Naz Reid and Jalen Noel aren't coming back at the minimum next year, almost certainly. So then what do? Do you sign Jalen Noel? Do you ask D'Lo to take less money and you re-sign D'Lo and Jalen Noel and you split what the amount of space between the two of them? You're splitting what, like $34 million, $35 million between the two of them? That's a possibility. Do you go out and find somebody else? Do you sign and trade D'Lo? I mean, there's a few different options here that we've got plenty of time to talk about, but I think next year's cap sheet will be really fascinating here moving forward. And perhaps we hear more about a potential D'Lo extension sooner rather than later as well. All right, that's all we have for today here on the show. Of course, we're still back the rest of this week daily through the rest of the month of July. Make sure you're following and subscribe to this show wherever you listen to podcasts. It's free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And the Locked On Podcast Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Reminder that for your second listen, you can check out the Locked On NBA show. Get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the league in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA. update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.